We're talking today with Will Freed, who is a disability support specialist in the Access Office at the Merrimack campus. How are you doing, Will?
I'm doing very well this morning, Paul. I'm very excited to be here chatting with you all and here to promote autism acceptance as a norm that we should all understand and experience as an everyday thing in society to develop a more inclusive and accessible place, attitudes, and in the communities where we go work to school, serve, and live in.
I am glad to have you here. Now, you do have some experience with dealing with autism, both in your work as a disability support specialist and personally.
Yes, you are exactly correct, Paul. I'm someone that was diagnosed with autism spectrum disorder during my junior year in high school when I was living in Bethesda, Maryland, at around age 16 years old. I've been living with it now coming up onto 9 years now with being someone that's on the autism spectrum. I have worked with students professionally on the autism spectrum before I was here at St. Louis Community College as a disability support specialist. I came from Berklee College of Music in Boston, Massachusetts, where I was an access advisor, where I provided a lot of academic and housing accommodations for a lot of students with disabilities, accommodations, worked with students on self-advocating with their professors. And one of the things that I've really enjoyed on my journey with supporting individuals on the autism spectrum was a few years ago when I started a journey to go work on my master's degree in higher education and student affairs at Fort Hays State University. And from the fall of 2020 to May 2022. And during that time, I came and embarked on a colleague in the art department, Amy Schmierbach, who has a child on the autism spectrum. And as part of her work as a faculty member, she wanted to work on creating a new kind of program for college students that were on the autism spectrum, because she wanted to ensure that not only herself, but others and other faculty members and other parents of the community could get more support services. And in 2022, I spent a lot of time giving her a lot of resources to help understand what college students on the autism spectrum need in terms of more support with executive functioning, which is utilized to help a person's thought process with the day-to-day activities that they do, to make sure that they're able to organize everything in a way that best fits them to learn and thrive, and how to manage their time by understanding how long does it take to do their homework assignments versus other competing priorities such as your play interests, your other social activities, recreational activities, extracurricular clubs, kind of understanding what importance you have and what you need to prioritize.
When people talk about autism spectrum disorder, what are they generally referring to, and what does that mean to you?
So with generally referring, autism spectrum disorder is is very broad. As a disability, you have a lot of varying different levels of autism spectrum. You have people that are completely nonverbal, that do not talk. They use something called an AAC devices, which is argumentative and augmentative communication, where they use a communication board to communicate everything because they're a non-speaking individual. You have people on the autism spectrum that do a lot of stimming, which is having to rock back and forth, kind of say some other things, because that's the way how they express themselves as true identity in order to be their truth selves. And there's a lot of people that believe that there's a lot of problems with stimming because they are being very disruptive to other people in their presence and not kind of understanding and being aware of others, but that's like how they express themselves. I personally have Asperger syndrome, which my psychiatrist did diagnose with me because that's like used for someone that they labeled as high functioning, but not all individuals feel comfortable in labeling it. Like I'm someone with being on the autism spectrum, that you have to understand that this is a norm in society that needs to happen. We have to acknowledge that this exists and then take the next step by understanding how does people with autism spectrum disorder interact in your role? How does this come in contact with the day-to-day life and day-to-day activity? And people need to be prepared for it, honestly.
So you mentioned stimming. Now, that can be anything from, as you said, rocking back and forth to some people will rub their hands or yep. touch an object that they keep on them.
Or a stress ball.
A stress ball. Some people will just have constant movements that those things are kind of a routine. They're sort of a comfort thing.
Yep, it's a comfort way for them to, I mean, express themselves, be the true self, be who they are. And like, if you take away the stimming from someone, you're taking away a culturally appropriate practice for someone on the autism spectrum. When you see, like, I mean, the one thing that we have to move to is that seeing like disability and seeing on the autism spectrum, we have to come to a more cultural model that this is the way of the pride that someone shows that they're on the autism spectrum.
And that is, like I said, that's like a calming thing. So that, and I notice a lot of people have routines. They do things in a certain order, or they know that this has to be done, that this has to be done. Do you have routines that help you in your day to day?
One of the things that I know that I have every day is the support and mentors that I text and reach out to, the friendships that I've developed through overcoming a lot of my own obstacles to officiate basketball at the high school level as someone on the autism spectrum, with I've officiated when I've been in the state of Kansas, in Massachusetts, in Maryland, from where I'm from, and now here in the state, like in the state of Missouri. You just kind of have to know the people who have your back every day, who strive you to have that source of strength within you every day.
So if something happens with the routine and there are changes, is that challenging to you?
I mean, depending on the day, it can throw me off the rails, because as a person on the autism spectrum, you have to adapt more to other people that are like neurotypical, non-disabled, because our society is not ingrained in a way that to understand a process that a neurodivergent person on the autism spectrum is, because of the way how they communicate and express themselves may not be complete thoughts.
Now, you've used a couple of terms, neurodivergent and neurotypical.
Yeah.
And I prefer those as opposed to what people would generally use, normal and usually disabled, challenged, etc. One of those. The terminology is shifting now, and neurotypical and neurodivergent seem to be coming more into play with autism spectrum and a lot of other what people would consider invisible disabilities. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes. And even people who have like ADHD, dyslexia, dyscalculia, even like Crohn's disease, other autoimmune diseases, do identify themselves as neurodivergent. We're seeing a lot of similarities with ADHD, ADD, autism spectrum disorder in terms of coaching services that are being provided for these individuals. And what I mean with coaching services, it's about exploring how the individual is on ways how they can manage their time, to do their homework, where they have to develop a routine that best fits them to complete how it's done, maybe schedule some intervals and then have some stimulation breaks and then go back and doing their homework, also teaching them the self-determination skills, which is to set a goal, develop them, and evaluate your goals and where your processes are. And self-determination comes from this idea, which was helping people and persons with disabilities get out of institutionalization.
Right. So making them in charge of their own destiny, giving them that agency in their own life.
It definitely is with that.
So, again, going back to neurotypical, most people would say that in general the world is geared toward neurotypical. What's it like moving through that world as someone who is neurodivergent?
I would say that people don't understand the way that you mean, the way that you write things, the way that you phrase things. Like they say, this can be like more confusing, and doing that, at times you have to expend your energy on doing more explanations to others of what you really need to do. And one of the things that I've kind of learned over the past few years is that there's one disability activist, Mia Mingus, who's coined a term called forced intimacy, which means that people with disabilities have to disclose their most personal needs in order to get what they need from able-bodied, non-disabled individuals. And we have to, I think, as a society, acknowledge that this is happening, and that and that able-bodied neurotypicals that don't have a disability don't have to disclose their most personal needs.
When put like that, it absolutely sounds wrong, but it also sounds, I was about to say plausible, but sounds like something that definitely would be happening, because you see that in a lot of areas where you have to really bare your soul, so to speak, in order for people to take you seriously on things. Is there anything we can do to help make people more comfortable with neurodivergent individuals or individuals who have an invisible disability?
I think one of the things, based off the research and spending the hours in the advocacy space and attending a lot of webinars, the biggest thing that I have learned is from Lydia X.C. Brown, who's a activist, a scholar, an attorney and disability studies lecturer at Georgetown University, has created something called an access affirmation, which I can go big into. It's like when you're teaching a class, teaching a class or having an event, you have a statement at the beginning where like it's read about how you accept like sitting in a way that feels comfortable to your bodies, having any comfort needs such as any pillows, feeling free to pace the room or the area, walk around, having your other, being able to express your gender identity with your pronouns as well. If you're doing like a virtual event, kind of just knowing that you can like have your other cuddle animals, your other emotional support things, whatever you need to destimulate yourself. You have to redesign and reimagine what the classroom experience is going to look like, so the environment and for classrooms and events is built so we're building a more inclusive, normal idea.
So something where, regardless if you're neurotypical, if you're neurodivergent, if you have positioning or motion issues where you have to be up and walking, all of those things would be acceptable in an ideal classroom.
Yes, that would be.
I think that sounds like a fantastic idea. Whoever decided that sitting down in one spot for hours is a great way to learn.
It's It's not, and you can have people that have other stimulation or have other things. Like I mean, it's about redesigning to have things. I mean, multimodal, also giving faculty and instructors the resources about how to put this into their discipline.
Yeah, I completely agree with you on that. I think that would be a fantastic way to be inclusive for everyone. And I probably know a number of neurotypical individuals that would be grateful for the ability to get up and stretch or move during a class period as opposed to sitting in one spot. So it's not something that's just catering. It's good.
It's also the design of the classroom may not be inclusive because you may not have a desk that's for right-handed or left-handed users. You don't have seats that are utilized for all different kind of body types.
Yes, I have witnessed some of those in classes that I have been in, both assisting and taking. Was there anything else you want others to know about you or about autism spectrum disorder, Asperger's, even just being neurodivergent in a neurotypical world?
I would definitely say out there, is that we have to come into a way to stop treating people like on the autism spectrum like they are patients, because in terms of like the mental health side of things, there's things where they feel like there's other behaviors of people on the autism spectrum because of how their like nonverbal skills are perceived, their social skills as they go into adulting, treating them at times like doing social skills supports for adults on the autism spectrum to adapt to the neurotypical, folks. And we have to understand that the environment is the barrier for the individual that's causing the difficulty with their socialization with others.
And that was one thing that you brought up that I'm really interested in is, so many people hear autism and they think more along the lines of, in strictest terms, disability. These people can't do X, Y, Z. And that's not the case.
It's about finding their talents and their skills to create other, opportunities that we, have. In the St. Louis area, we do with Easter Seals Midwest have the LINK program, which teaches people with disabilities on the autism spectrum, the soft skills, and gives them a course to prepare them to go into their fields of interests, and gives them coaching for what they kind of need. And then we have Starkloff Disability Institute that's been working with a lot of college students this area on the autism spectrum, other disabilities, to help them through the path of how to embrace their disability identity to go into a workplace environment.
Will, it has been wonderful talking to you today. I'm really glad you came by. Is there a way that anybody who's listening and would be interested in talking to you, do they have to be on the Merrimack campus, or can you assist on any of the campuses, or do you just refer back and forth?
So typically, like what we do is that each of us we have an access office on each of our campuses, and we do have an email address for each access office. But if someone just wants to talk with me with more information about autism spectrum disorder, I would be happy to have a time to chat and what best fits them. And my email address is wfried@stlcc.edu.
All right. Thank you so much, Will. It's been great talking to you.
Thank you.